you tell a story about being offered the opportunity to meet a real, like, living alien?
I was in the middle of litigation with the federal government, and it had gotten quite dicey.
What year was this?
This was 1998.
What were you in litigation over? Again, I think you told it about, talked a little bit about last time.
Well, you know,
time.
It was kind of a... If you've ever seen the movie Enemy of the State, I played Will Smith in real life.
Wow.
It was kind of one of those, you know, irrational squabbles, you know, that when you're in the middle of it, you can't figure out what in the world is going on and why it's happening. Anyway, I was asked by a guy named John Peterson, who runs the Arlington Institute, to come have dinner in the middle of this sort of, you know, unbelievable food fight. And so I got out to dinner, and he said, the Undersecretary of the Navy wants us to do a very high-level strategic plan for them, and I see from the newspapers that you might be available. And I said, well, you know, surely the Undersecretary understands I'm having a, you know, this food fight. And he says, oh, you know, the Undersecretary understands that's just politics. So I said, okay, well, I'll tell you what, I'll help you if you'll help me figure out what in the world is going on with all this crazy business. So I ended up going with him to a whole series of different meetings with admirals and generals and colonels and, you know, at various think tanks. And finally, after a couple of meetings, I pulled him aside and I said, okay, John, what's the gist of this thing? What's, you know, what is our goal? What are we trying to achieve for the Navy?
What did you think it was? What did you think you were doing?
You know, I thought it was just, you know, in a situation like this, when you're doing high-level strategic planning, you meet everybody, so you don't, you know, first you get a feel for the people. So I'm perfect. The undersecretary and his wife came over to my house for brunch. And, you know, so I was just kind of meeting the people, getting a feel for the thing. So I said to John, you know, what's the gist of this? And he said, well, he said, the gist of it is the Navy wants to understand what it's like to operate in a world in which aliens exist and live among us. And I said, well, John, I don't know that. I don't know that aliens exist and live among us. And he said, well, would you like to have lunch with some aliens? And I have to tell you, Ian, I figured, okay, this is where they're finally going to get me, because I was dealing with a terrible smear campaign. So I just, you know, I kind of had that feeling in the back of my mind, maybe I'm being set up. And I said, you know, John, I'm dealing with a little bit too much risk right now to be seen lunching with aliens. So I said, are there some books I can read? So I'm a speed reader, so I read about 25 books, and I couldn't make any head nor tails out of it. Because my tool for understanding, you know, for mapping something and figuring out whether it's true or not is money. And, of course, you know, if you're dealing with something intergalactic, money does not lend itself as a good mapping tool. So anyway, so John asked me if a couple months later, if I would join the board of the Arlington Institute. So I went to the first board meeting. And I have a rule, Ian, that, you know, if I'm at a board meeting, my first board meeting, I'm not going to talk. I'm just going to listen. I'm going to try and learn. And so I walk into the first meeting, and Jim Woolsey,
former CIA director?
Yeah, he was the CIA director. In fact, he was the CIA director when our problem started. And it was funny because he was flipping a pen up in the air. I walked in, his back was facing me, and then John was facing me on the other side. John was chairing the meeting. And John said to me, my middle name is Austin, he says, Austin, it's so good to see you. And Woolsey's pen flipped up and went, you know, halfway to the ceiling and then dropped to the floor. And he looked at me terrified, which is when I realized, okay, my problem really was a National Security Council problem. And I said, Jim, it's so good to see you. You know, these guys never figure that you're going to, you know, live to see them anyway. So he acted real nervous, and I just sat through the whole meeting, and they were talking about whether or not their white paper for that year should be helping the American people come to grips with what it was like to live with aliens existing and living among us. And I'll tell you, Ian, whenever I'm in a room and people are discussing a deep, dark secret, there's tremendous resonation in the room, and there was absolutely no resonation in that room. It was strange.
Tell me what you mean by resonation. I would say resonation for me means that somewhere you can just sort of feel this sort of general agreement, or people that could respond to aspects of that story, that could relate to it.
Yeah.
They sort of chime with it.
People were sort of shifting around and feeling uncomfortable.
How about that?
It was strange. What in the world is going on? And a couple years later, well, I guess a year or two later, the litigation just got drawn out to everybody's surprise and amazement. So I left. I moved out of Washington and to Tennessee, where I now live, and I resigned from the board. And I, when 9/11 happened, I was part of a group of people that did a website called Unanswered Questions, and no one would really look at the black budget. And I, what I kept finding as an economic matter is you can't turn anything around in a community or in an industry or in the market unless you grapple with the incredible flow of money and very powerful invisible weaponry from the black budget. So if you're going to solve any of the problems that anybody interested in changing things is, you know, whether it's environment or manipulation of the gold market, you really have to understand the black budget because it's at the heart of the economics. So I finally decided, normally I would never talk about stories of something that happened in a private board meeting, but I really decided as an ethical matter after 9/11 that I had to, you know, we had to discuss this. And I'm a great believer, you know, that we each have a piece of the jigsaw, and it's very important to bring transparency to the pieces we have and kind of share them and, you know, build a map together. So I wrote up a story and published this. There's an article called What's Up with the Black Budget. And it was interesting. Somebody called me and said, you know, we've talked to John Peterson, who is the chair of the Arlington Institute, and he says, you're a liar. And, you know, that this never happened. And I said, well, you know, you should ask him why he had a liar appointed to his board.
Right.
So there was big hullabaloo. People kept calling me and saying, Peterson and Woolsey say you're a liar. And I just said, look, I wrote what, you know, happened. If it's useful, great. If you believe me, great. If you don't, great. You know, this was meant to be useful, but there's nothing else I can say. Anyway, so apparently I was contacted by a journal of UFOs from London, and they said, well, you know, we're trying to decide who's telling the truth. And I said, I can't help you. This is all I know, and, you know, good luck. And he called me back about a month later and said, well, we're going to publish your article because it turns out Woolsey and Peterson have done this to other people. You're not the first.
So what do you mean done this, meaning what?
Had a conversation with them about aliens and then, you know, then said that they were liars.
Could it be, here's an interesting, could they have been testing you, I don't know about Woolsey, but I wonder whether this guy, John, could have been testing you as you thought, as you suspected that you felt like you were maybe being set up a little bit, that maybe the setup was they were going to say something like that and see whether or not you would be a leak, whether you would turn around and you would call, you know, a columnist, or you would call somebody in the press and tell them what you experienced,
you know,
and then they know it was you.
I have no idea.